as we continue in this series today, I want to speak to you about struggling with fear. And so if you don't mind, I'd like to start out by reading a scary story from Scripture. Is that okay? It's all right if there's some kids present. It's like a G-rated scary story. It's in Matthew 14, if you want to follow along. Starting in verse 22, I just want to read this story, and then we'll talk about how we can overcome the struggle with fear today. It says, starting in verse 22, it says, "Immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd." He just performed a miracle of feeding the 5,000 people, and so then he tells his disciples to get in the boat. They're going to go to the other side of the lake while he dismisses the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone, at night, in the dark. See? It's getting scarier. And the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. This word buffeted, it's not buffeted, like they had a full course buffet on the boat. No, it's buffeted. It means the wind. It means there was a storm and the wind was blowing really, really hard and there were waves coming up onto the boat. And so it was against the boat. There's a storm on the Sea of Galilee. If you've been around church, you may have heard that these storms can pop up quite quickly, be quite severe, and threaten small fishing vessels. And so this is potentially a life-threatening situation. See, it's getting scarier, but it's about to get even more frightening. It says, "Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified and they said, 'It's a ghost!' And they cried out in fear. You would too if you were there. But Jesus immediately said to them what God says so often in Scripture, 'Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid. Do not fear.' So Peter replies in verse 28, 'Lord, if it's you, tell me to come to you on the water,'" because that's the logical thing to do when you're terrified. Get out of the only source of security that you have, the only thing separating you from impending death, and walk on water. Sure, why not? It seems logical, Peter. Jesus says, "Well, this wasn't my idea, but you said if it was me to tell you, so it's me. Come on then." It says, "Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus." And this is a key verse I want to talk about today a little bit. "But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, cried out, 'Lord, save me.'" It's probably more like, "Lord, save me!" Something more like that. "Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. 'You of little faith,' he said, 'why did you doubt?'" What did Jesus ask him? "Why did you doubt?" Look at your neighbor and ask him, "Why did you doubt? Why did you doubt? Why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those were with him in the boat worshiped him, saying, "Truly you are the Son of God." I realized a few years ago that I do not struggle with a lot of the quote-unquote scary fears that apparently most people struggle with. The number two fear in America, according to surveys, is of most people is death, right? And so a few years ago, I realized I didn't really struggle with fear of death. I was laying in bed, and I had this small thought. You ever have a small thought that just pops in your mind while you're falling asleep and just keeps you awake, you know? And this small thought popped in my mind, I think I forgot to lock the door. right? And so you have a little small thought like that. And then it's amazing how quick your brain fires, isn't it? And like in a moment, I mean, within a millisecond, I had imagined what, you know, worst case scenario could possibly happen if when you forget to lock your door before you go to bed. And for me, I don't know what it is for you. For me, they're always wearing a clown mask. I don't know why. Probably because the movie It was on TV when I was like four one time. I'm sure it was edited for TV, but I just remember that menacing, horrific face. You know, I don't know. Maybe that's it. But in my mind, they're always wearing a clown mask. And I'm like, man, I didn't lock the door. You know, and I'm instantly imagining some dude can come in a clown mask, murder me in my sleep. You know, you might want to get up and lock the door, you know? But I'm also one of those people that once I'm in bed, I do not want to get out of bed, all right? I've considered at times, if it weren't painful, installing a catheter, you know, so I wouldn't have to get out of bed. Like, I'm that lazy once I'm in bed, all right? Because these are thoughts I have. They're like, y'all are like, wow, you know how scary it is in my mind now. Like, these are thoughts that go through your mind when you're in bed and you don't want to get out. I'm also somebody who once I'm in bed, I fall asleep usually rather quickly. So once my head hits the pillow, I'm starting to drift. You have those small thoughts, and it's like, you forgot to lock the door. Horror, you know, Stephen King, It Clown's going to come in and murder you. And I kid you not, this was my next thought. Well, you know, to live is Christ, to die is gain. You know? And I haven't been through a ton of suffering in my life, but I've been through just enough that I'm really tired of this world on a lot of days. And maybe I was having a bad day, but I was just like, I'll just be with Jesus that much sooner. Like, I really don't care if Mr. It Clown comes in and shoots. Like, I had this logical conversation with myself, and I slept like a baby that night. And I don't know if the door was locked, right? And so I'm thinking about it later, and I was like, I literally am not afraid to die. Like, you know, I might fear the process of how painful the however I go might be, but the actual death itself, like, I'm just not afraid of it. I'm ready. I believe with all my heart I will be with Jesus, you know? And so I don't struggle with that. You know, a few weeks later, my wife, we were laying in bed, and she had a little thought. She goes, and I was like, what? And she's like, did you lock the door? And I explained to her why it really didn't matter if I locked the door or not. And she's like, Aaron, you have a wife and children. They could murder us. And I was like, oh, I never thought of that. And so now I lock the door. Now I lock the door. I assure you, now I lock the door. But I don't struggle with the thought of death. You know, it just doesn't bother me. It's the number two fear. Do you know what the number one fear of most people is? Public speaking. And so maybe I've been desensitized. And so I don't struggle with death either. But I don't fear getting up in front of people and talking, right? That does not bother me. I don't fear that. And so I don't struggle with apparently the fears that most people struggle with. But God has shown me lately that fear has many faces. And I don't fear speaking in public, but I do fear not having anything to say. I don't fear death, but I do fear wasting my life. And sometimes those thoughts keep me up at night. Those are some things I fear. Those are some things I wrestle with in my heart. I don't know what you wrestle with, but I know we all wrestle with fear, and fear has many faces. And when I say struggling with fear, some of you are like, I don't struggle with fear. I'm not afraid of it. I'm not afraid of anything. Right? like you're Chuck Norris or something, okay? All right? Like Chuck Norris isn't afraid of the dark is afraid of Chuck Norris. You know what I'm saying? Some of you are like, please. But fear has many faces. Fear also looks like worry, anxiety. Here's one for you guys that I realized, I thought I wasn't a worrier till God showed me, oh no, you just think a lot, don't you? It's called overthinking. Like when you leave work, you get home and you're sitting at the dinner table and you're still thinking about all the problems at work. Oh, I'm not worried about it. I'm just trying to fix them. Why can't you leave it at work? If you pray about it, you give it to God, but then you keep thinking about it, that's called worry. Worry's a form of fear. And so fear has many faces. We all struggle with it, and I'm convinced that's why God, in the Word of God, the most repeated command in Scripture is do not fear. Do not be afraid. Fear not. It's interesting. The greatest command is love God and love your neighbor as yourself is the second. But the most repeated is do not fear. And I think it's because fear is what keeps us from loving God and loving people as God wants us to. Fear is debilitating. Fear will keep you from your calling. Fear will keep you from doing what God calls you to do and living the life that he's calling you to live. And so I want to encourage you today. God has something for us in exchange for our fear. And it's called perfect peace. Peace is freedom from oppressive thoughts or emotions. Freedom from oppressive thoughts or emotions. And the Word of God has a promise for us today. And this is a scripture that I would memorize if I were you. I came across it years ago and it stuck with me. And I was like, wow, is this possible? Is this really true? Because if it is, this is huge. This is massive. Isaiah 26, verse 3. It's a prophetic poem that God gives to Isaiah. And so Isaiah's speaking this by the Spirit. And he says, you, God, will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you. The word steadfast means unwavering. You're totally focused on God. Those whose minds are steadfast. I like the way another translation says it. You'll keep in perfect peace those whose minds are stayed on you because they trust in you. Perfect peace is possible for us as believers. Like no matter what you go through in life, no matter how difficult the situation that you're going through is, no matter even if it's life-threatening, as you go through it, it is possible for you, if you have a relationship with God, if you know Jesus, if you're filled with his Holy Spirit, if you trust in him, it is possible for you as a believer to have perfect peace, unwavering, totally free from oppressive thoughts and emotions, worries, anxieties, insecurities, fears, no matter what you go through in life. It is totally possible for you to live a life in perfect peace. No matter where you find yourself, that is possible. The Word of God declares it. I believe God wants it for us. I believe this side of heaven, that's one of the biggest reasons Jesus died on the cross. Jesus died on the cross to give us peace with God, that we could make peace through his blood because we were enemies in our own minds, not in God's mind, but in our own minds, we were enemies because of our sins. And so God removed our guilt and shame and the fear of judgment and punishment through Christ. If you trust in him, you don't need to fear death and punishment because through Christ, death is no longer a curse. It's a passageway through which we enter eternal life. And so God, Jesus died for us to have this perfect peace. He longs for us to have it. Every spiritual blessing in Christ is ours. It's promised to us every spiritual blessing in Christ. It's a fruit of the Spirit. When you're being filled with the Spirit day by day, when you're walking in step with the Spirit, the fruit of that in your life, the natural outworking of that is love, joy, and what? Peace. Peace of mind, peace of heart. No matter what you go through, no matter what situation you're in. So the question is, why do so many of us not experience perfect peace? Why do we lose our peace in Christ so quickly? Well, the promise is you'll keep in perfect peace those whose minds are stayed on you. And so Peter is walking on water. I mean, perfect peace. So much peace, he's willing to get out of the only source of security in his life, to be with Jesus, which you would think would make a scary situation even scarier, yet he's willing to do it because he has such perfect peace, because he's focused on Christ. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and beginning to sink. Fear caused him to lose his focus on Christ. And so he began to sink. Fear comes between you and your trust of God. And so what was Peter fearing in this story? It says when he saw the wind, he was afraid, right? Now think about that. If you can see the wind, that's a little scary. He's on a lake. Have you ever seen it rain so hard and the wind is blowing so hard that you can see the wind and it's like going sideways, right? But when he saw the wind, that's some scary wind, all right? So was the wind his problem though? I really don't think it was. And here's why. He was well aware of the wind before he ever even got out of the boat. Before he ever saw Jesus walking on the water, the wind was against them. The waves were buffeting the boat. Peter was well aware of how scary the situation was. He was well aware of all that could go wrong. I don't think the wind was the problem, because it was not a problem when he saw Jesus. And so I want to tell you today, whatever you're fearing, whatever worst case scenario you're dreaming up in your mind could happen, whatever what if you're wrestling with, it's really not your problem. Even if it's legitimate, even if you've got a diagnosis and it could very well end your life, and that's a big what if. But I'm telling you, as far as what's stealing your peace in the midst of that situation, those what ifs are not your problem. The wind was an external situation that was scary, but the external situation could not steal Peter's peace, because peace is an internal thing. Peter's problem was not the wind. It was not the scary situation. Peter's problem was whatever caused him to take his eyes off of Jesus. Because when he was starting out, he saw Jesus and he had that perfect peace because he knew who Jesus was. Now he was a little scared because he wasn't sure it was Jesus. You ever feel like God's calling you to do something? And you're like, I feel like this might be God. I feel like I'm supposed to share my faith. I feel like I'm supposed to get a different job. I feel like I'm supposed to do this. And you're scared. And you're like, is this Jesus? Because if it's not, this could fail. And if this fails, this ship is going down. I have to know if this is God. And so, Jesus, if that's you, tell me to come to you, right? And I just want to encourage you, if you're ever in a situation like that, that's like Gideon fleecing God, you know, like, yes, God had a big calling for Gideon. You better make sure it's God, right? Because if it's a ghost, that's demonic, and it's an angel of light masquerading, and then you're going to be in trouble if you're listening to, you know, a voice that's not Jesus. And so he wants to make sure it's Jesus, and he's like, if it's you, tell me to come to you. And he gets out, and he's got this, Jesus, like, it's me, you know, come to me. And so he's like, all right. And so he gets, it's like, why doesn't he be like, if that's you, tell me to stay right here, and I'll just wait, and you come here. Why? I just love, what in the world? Why in the world? If it's you, tell me to get out of the boat. I just don't even, I've read this story so many times. I'm like, what would compel him? And I think maybe this week God showed me that Peter's like, if that's Jesus, even though it looks scarier where Jesus is, I know wherever Jesus is, that's the safest place in the world to be. And so this is just a boat, and this boat can go down at any time. And a boat is a vain hope for salvation. A job is a vain hope for salvation. Money is a vain hope for salvation. People are a vain hope for salvation. So I don't care how good of a rower John is. If that's Jesus, and he's walking on the water, he's on top of this storm could get terrible and even worse, and he apparently is not affected by it. I want to be wherever Jesus is. So if that's you, you tell me to come to you. And Jesus is like, come on. So Peter gets out, and he's walking. And now think about this. His problem's not the wind, because he knows what's going on. And the Bible does not say, and then the wind got really, 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 really bad. And then the stuff really hit the fan. No, he was totally aware of what the situation was. But something caused him to have second thoughts. Remember what Jesus said when he was sinking? He said, Lord, help me! And Jesus, like, boom, caught him. You know, he's right there. But remember what he said? You have little faith. Why did you doubt? Why did you doubt? So wait a second. When he saw the wind, he was afraid. But Jesus said, why did you doubt? What was his problem? Was it fear or was it doubt? It was both. It was both. I believe what caused Peter to get his focus off of Christ was a form of self-doubt called insecurity. Insecurity is a form of fear. You're doubting yourself in a situation. I don't know if I have what it takes. I don't know if I have the ability to do this. Oh, if that's Jesus, he's already walking on water. I don't even have to have faith. I know Jesus can walk on water. I'm not sure I have the faith to be able to do this. And so Peter gets out of a boat filled with faith, and he's walking on water, and then I believe he has this little thought. What am I doing? This is crazy. As he's watching Jesus, what am I doing? This is nuts. Why did I get out of the boat? Everyone else stayed in the boat. What was I thinking? This was not a good idea. In fact, I would go so far as to say, I believe Peter had a small thought. This wasn't Jesus's idea. This was my idea. I've heard this story preached so many times. There's books been written about it. If you want to walk on water, get out of the boat. And the way it's always presented is, you know, sometimes God will call you to get out of the boat. You got to get out of the boat of your security. You got to trust God even when it doesn't make sense. And that's very true. And there's plenty of other stories in Scripture where that principle is very true and very explicit. But it's preached as if the idea was Jesus's. You know, like Jesus just waltzes up and goes, Peter, I know you're afraid, but I'm going to ask you to get out of that boat and to trust me. It wasn't Jesus's idea. In fact, it's funny, after Jesus saves him, it says then they just walk back together and get back in the boat, and then it's over. And so it's like, I don't think Jesus' plan was for him to ever get out of the boat. It's like, just wait and trust God and you'll have peace and he'll help you. And it was Peter's idea. Now, I think Jesus liked the idea because he's like, no, I like this faith. This boy thinks he can walk on water like me. Now, I like that. Come on, then. But it wasn't Jesus' idea. And so Peter's walking on the water and he goes, what am I doing? This wasn't Jesus' idea. Last time I had an idea, Jesus called me Satan. What am I doing? This is crazy. And then it starts. Why do you have to always be different, Peter? Why do you always have to be so idealistic? I just want to be wherever Jesus is. I'm quitting my job. I'm going after God. Why do you always have to be so idealistic? Why can't you just be like everyone else? You know he loves John the most. Look what John's doing. No, he'll come to me. Why you gotta be so impulsive, Peter? Self-doubt, self-criticism. I don't think the doubt Jesus spoke of was his doubt in Jesus. He knew Jesus was fully capable. And I'm just here to tell you from personal experience that a lot of us, the biggest form of fear that we struggle with is insecurity. It's a fear that we don't know if we have what it takes to get through the situation that we're in. And we hear nice little Christian sayings like, well, you know, God wouldn't give you what, you know, he's given you if he didn't think you could handle it. And you're like, yeah, okay, yeah, that's, and it's meant to encourage you, like, you're stronger than you think. You know, God knows you can do it. And you're like, okay, yeah, oh yeah, that's, thanks. I'm glad you think so. Because when I get home, I'm freaking out! I can't handle it! Right? Insecurity. Man, I just don't know. And insecurity, it's a form of fear. You're fearing, you're worrying about what you're going through and your ability to get through it. And here's what it looks like. And I know because this is one of my biggest struggles is insecurity on a daily, weekly basis. Like, I don't want to make a wrong decision, right? I want to do everything right. I love God so much. And you become a leader and then people are depending on you. And if you're a parent, you know what that feels like. And it's like, you just don't want to make a wrong step or make a wrong decision. And then you make a decision and then you second guess the decision. And you're like, was that the right decision? I guess we'll see. We'll see what happens. Who knows? This could all tank, you know? And you just, that, I mean, man, I just wrestle with it so much. And what I've realized is insecurity is the way that the enemy gets people of faith to doubt God without thinking they're doubting God. Because you doubt yourself and you're like, oh, I got all the, oh, God, yeah, all things are possible with God. God can do anything. I just don't think God can do anything through me. And that's the truth of it. Now, you hear how blasphemous that sounds when you say it that way. If God can't do anything through you, then God can't do anything. And so if you're like, oh, I believe in God, I just don't believe in me. If God couldn't use you, if God couldn't get you through it, if God couldn't enable you to walk on the water and do something impossible and get you through an impossible situation, I know you're you, and I know you don't like you very much, but if God can't do that, then God's not God, and God, you know, is not able to do anything. Because if God is God and he's almighty and he's able to do anything and use anyone, that includes you. And so I believe the core, the heart of this message today that God wants you to hear is stop doubting yourself in God because it's causing you to doubt God. And it's getting your focus off of Christ and onto yourself and your shortcomings. And that's what's causing you to sink into the fear and anxiety and worry. And then you wonder why God feels far away. It's because you're not even focused on him. And you're like, yeah, but I believe in him and I'm here. Peter was aware Jesus was there. Peter still had a relationship with Jesus. Peter still believed Jesus is God and all that stuff. And Jesus is right there. It's not that he closed his eyes or looked away. It's like Jesus went from being the center of his focus to the peripheral. Right? And so the fear became the center. And that's why you ever like afraid of something or you're worried about something. You're like, God, I'm worried about this. God, take it away. God, do this. God, I'm trusting you with this. God, I'm giving it to you. Amen. But what if this happens? I just don't know. You know, you just pick it right back up. Why is that? You ever like, I think we need to change the way we're praying again. Because sometimes focusing on your fear, even in prayer, you're still focusing on the fear. And we need to start focusing on the person of Jesus, the author of perfect peace. And start, you know, prayer is not just telling God all your problems so he can fix them. That is the most surface level form of prayer. That's part of prayer, but it's the most surface level thing. And if you think that's prayer, you will start your day off every day whenever you go to pray, putting yourself in a negative mindset. You ever done this? I've literally done this before. I'm having a great day until I go to pray because I'm like, oh, I should pray. I should, you know, it's time to pray. Say my prayers. What am I going to pray about? Geez, I don't know. What's wrong with my life? Who has cancer? Who's dying? What problems are there at church? What problems are in my family? And by the time you're done with prayer, now you're so mindful of all your problems. And yeah, you told God about them, but now you're thinking about them. Instead of thinking about how good God is, we need to learn that prayer is primarily about communion with the Heavenly Father, knowing him, knowing the Almighty, knowing he's not just with me, he's in me. Knowing that, being convinced of that, that he is good in his essence. Always only good. God is light, in him is no darkness at all. And so I can trust him no matter what I'm going through. No matter how difficult the situation is, I can trust. Listen to the sermon next week if you want more on that. You can trust him. No matter what you're going through, he is good. And sometimes in prayer, you just need to get focused on how good God is. You know, 2018 was a rough year for myself personally and for our family. We lost my father-in-law towards the beginning of the year. And it, you know, that just messed with the rest of the year, you know, and a lot of other things were going on. And before 2018 started, I felt like the Lord said, Aaron, I want you to praise me every day in 2018. And so I'd go to pray a lot and I'd be like, okay, I'm supposed to praise him. And I'm like, I'm not just going to manufacture praise, you know? What do I have to be thankful for? What can I praise God? And it shifted my thinking. The whole year when I was so tempted to be discouraged and disappointed a lot, and I failed at that a lot, and I was discouraged and disappointed a lot. But the whole year, this word of God that he gave me was like, refocus. What do I have to praise him for? He's good. He's doing something in the midst of it. And it's about getting your vision back on Jesus as the focus. And it's not that you're unaware of your problems. They're just in the peripheral. Like, oh, I know we got this going on. God will take care of it. God is good. Jesus will show me what to do. I got perfect peace. Walking on water, baby. Walking on water. We're going to get through this, you know? Stop doubting yourself because it's causing you to doubt God. Moses was somebody who wrestled massively with insecurity, mostly because he had a major failure in his past. He was overconfident in his youth, had a major failure, and then massive insecurity the rest of his life, really. And when God called him, he thought he had ruined God's will for his life. And God's like, no, actually, I was just waiting 40 years until it was the right time. Now I want you to go do it. Go save my people. And you remember what Moses said? I'm not a good talker. And God goes, who gave you that mouth? That's what God, you should go read it. It's exactly what transpired. Because he was going to have to speak to Pharaoh. That'd be like God calling you and saying, hey, you're going to go speak to like the president of nations. You're going to have to speak to them. Public speeches. Number one fear, you know. I'm not a good talker, like, you know. And God said, who gave you that mouth? And I've heard many, many sermons on how Moses had a stuttering problem and he spoke with faltering lips, but God still used them and God can use you no matter what your shortcomings are. And that's very true. Again, lots of other stories in scripture that are more explicit in that. What's interesting though is, according to Acts 7:22, Moses was a good talker. In Stephen's speech to the Sanhedrin, he said, Moses was powerful in speech and action, which means Moses was massively insecure about an aspect of his ability, but he was actually believing something that was not even true. And God says, who gave you that mouth? God goes, I know how good you can talk, and it's good enough for this job. Now get on with it. And so some of you wrestle with insecurity because you have a distorted view of yourself. And the enemy has taken... You ever use one of those distorted mirrors that women use for makeup? I use those to shave sometimes. It's got the curved side and it's really, it like is 20 times magnifying or whatever. You ever look at like your nose? Or your eyebrows? Or your mouth? In one of those mirrors? It's gross, all right? Blows it up, magnifies. You know, if you do not have insecurities about the way you look, never use one of those, because you will after you do. Like, oh my gosh, right? And some of you, it's a distorted view though. The mirror is bent, it's distorted, and it magnifies, and that's what the enemy does. Whatever you focus on, life gets magnified, and you see a little tiny something you don't like about yourself, and the enemy goes, yeah, and he bends that mirror, and it gets blown out of proportion, and you hate yourself. And so for you, it might be, I hate the way I look. And the enemy enters through that insecurity, and he separates you from Jesus and blocks you off from Jesus. And then when you're out in public, you can't even connect with people. You can't love people the way God wants you to because you're so worried about how you look all the time and you hate yourself. And here's the thing. God actually likes the way he made you because he made you that way. You're actually believing something that is actually in reality not true. Well, beauty's in the eye of the beholder. So you don't like the way you look, but God does. Who's right? You don't like the way you speak, but God does. Who's right? You don't like the abilities God gave you or didn't give you, but God does. Who's right? God doesn't have opinions. God is truth. And so you need to stop listening to yourself and what other people think about you, and you need to start listening to what God thinks about you. And if God called you to it, Peter, even if it was your idea, Jesus approved it and said, come on then. If God called you to it, he's going to get you through it. And if God called you to it, you can do it. That's Waterboy preaching. You can do it. You can do it. Look at your neighbor and tell him, you can do it. You can do it. If God's called you to it, you can do it. And when you do it, I'll say I knew it, because I knew you can do all things through him who gives you strength. Amen. Amen. That's the truth. That's the word. You can do all things through him who gives you strength. All things, even the impossible. Even walking on water. Even when you get yourself into a situation and you realize you're in over your head. You can do all things through him who gives you strength. Even the impossible. And so no matter what you go through, it's possible to have perfect peace. A few years ago, God encouraged me in this way and with a little different story, little different twist. It was a story from Habakkuk. If you grew up in church and you ever did sword drills, you hated Habakkuk. Like, where is it? I don't know. Table of contents, quick. Habakkuk 3, 17 through 19 paints a picture of a situation that's really going horrific. And a situation where he'd been praying for God to renew the miracles as in the days of Moses. And God wasn't. God was saying, no, that's not what I have in this season. And it says, he says this in verse 17, though the fig tree does not bud and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food. It's not just a little food. It's not like, well, it was an okay crop. There is nothing. Although there are no sheep in the pen, no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God, my Savior. And I've always known that if you have the Holy Spirit, you that resonates with you. God is good all the time God is good. Like, we know in our heads intellectually that yes, I can trust God and therefore he's good and he's always doing something and I can always give thanks no matter what I'm going through. There's always something to be thankful for. And so no matter how hard it is, I can always praise God. Amen. I mean, that's true. We know that's true, but he gives a reason in the next verse. And he says in verse 19, the sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to tread on the heights. That's the reason he's giving for why he can praise God even when nothing is going right. You ever been in a situation where there's no figs on the tree? If you know what I'm saying. You ever been in a situation where there's no sheep in the pen? If you catch my drift. And you're a little discouraged, but then you remember, I got deer feet. You ever been in that situation? You ever be encouraged that you have deer feet? Because I haven't. Until a few years ago. Because I'd always read that passage and I thought, I have no idea what the deer feet thing is, but I know I can trust God and I'll just trust him. You know, that's how I read that. I was not encouraged by the illustration. Till a few years ago, I was out running on a road called Martin Hollow Road. Now, if you're not from these parts and you don't know what a holler is, it's like a steep drop off into a ravine. It's like a ravine, okay? It's a crevasse. And so I was running on this road, Martin Hollow, and the road is right next to the hollow. I guess it's Martin Hollow. I don't know. But it drops off steeply for about 20, 30 feet into a dry creek bed. and then it shoots back up this super steep hill for a few hundred feet, really big hill next to it. And I'm running on Martin Hollow Road, and I'm out there, and I come around a bend, and there's a deer standing there, and it kind of, we didn't see each other till we were boom right on top of each other, and it kind of startled each other, and I was like, whoa, and he was just like, and he just took off. And I kid you not, I was blown away. Within less than 10 seconds, he took two or three hops and he was at the bottom of the ravine. He took three or four more and he was, I'm kid you not, less than 10 seconds, he's standing at the top of the next hill and he turns around and he's like, whew. Now, normally when somebody goes, I'm like, you want a piece of me? You know? But I was just so in awe of what I stopped running. I was like, whoa. And next thing I know, he's standing up there looking at me. And I was like, holy cow. What just happened? Like, I've seen deer almost hit my car and then jump over a high fence and go, wow, they can jump really high. I've never seen a deer until that point in my life navigate such difficult terrain in such little time. And he didn't even stumble. He just went, boop, 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 boop. You know? I was like, whoa, wow. And while I was standing there like, whoa, wow, the Holy Spirit was like, he enables me to tread on the heights. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. Look at your neighbor and tell him, you got deer feet. You got deer feet. It doesn't say he enables my feet like the feet of a clumsy person who's so insecure because they're so clumsy. And they stumble all over themselves on level ground, let alone if they were to try to traverse into a hollow and get back up the other side. It would probably take you all day. You would probably plummet to your death. That's probably what would happen to you using your feet if you tried to do what that deer did. But when you trust God, when you stay focused on Him through your hardships, through your scary situation, when there's no food on the table, that's a scary situation. When you stay focused on Him, He says, I'm going to do something here. You're not going to have your feet to walk through this situation. I'm going to give you feet. Man, what is it like? Because I created everything. What creature did I create? What is it like? How can I put it to Him? I know the deer. When you trust in God through your scary situations, He gives you feet like the feet of a deer. He enables you to tread on the heights. You will not stumble. You will not fall. Even in a situation that should drown you, you'll walk on water. He will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are stayed on Him. Isaiah 43 sums it up for us. And I believe God wants me to encourage you with this today. But now this is what the Lord says. He who created you, Jacob, He who formed you, Israel, would you say this out loud with me and insert your own name when I read Jacob or Israel? Would you do that with me? Say it out loud with me and insert your own name for Jacob or Israel. Let's say it together. But now, this is what the... I can't hear you. But now, this is what the Lord says. He who created you, Aaron. He who formed you, Aaron. Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you, because you got deer feet. You'll be walking on water. He's redeemed you. You fell from the glory of God. He created you glorious. You fell from that, but He's redeemed you by the blood of Christ. It covers over all your sins, faults, and failures. God doesn't see that. He sees you, perfect, made holy in His sight. Stop doubting yourself. Stop getting down on yourself. It's causing you to doubt God. He wants to give you the perfect peace of Christ today. And so, Lord, we ask you to give it to us today, the perfect peace of Jesus. We are covered by your blood. God, I cover myself with your blood. Jesus, cover these people with your blood today. We pray the blood of Christ over ourselves and our church today. We thank you for the blood of Christ today that covers over all of our sins, flaws, faults, and failures. God, that in your sight, you've made us holy and perfect, that it's nothing but grace for the heart that longs to please you. That if we worship you in spirit and truth, that we're not walking in darkness. We're walking in the light. And that doesn't mean we won't stumble. That doesn't mean we won't have flaws. But it does mean you have grace. And so God, keep us focused on your grace, your love for us. Give us boldness as we walk with you. We love you, Jesus. God, I pray that if we get off the path, you just bring us back. And God, we know you'll do that. So we don't need to worry. If we don't need to self-examine to the point of self-criticism, wondering if we're off the path or we're such a sinner or we're going to screw it up. Because we know, God, in your sovereignty, you will lead us in right paths as we trust in you. And so if we're trusting in you, we can be confident with childlike faith. So we trust in you this morning, Jesus. We love you. We cast out all doubt, all self-doubt, all insecurity, all fear, all worry, all anxiety in this room today in the mighty name of Jesus. And all the people of perfect peace said, amen.